Attention, patriots. Broadcasting from the Free Zones, Radio Free Redoubt begins in 5, 4, 3, 2.
Good evening, God-fearing, liberty-loving patriots. Welcome to Radio Free Redoubt, episode 23-23. This is the 23rd podcast of 2023. And hopefully you guys have had a great week and a great restful weekend. Going into another crazy week ahead of us here in the brave new world. I've got several things I want to hit on. Of course, the news and commentary. But also, in segment two, I'm going to talk about artificial intelligence and some developments that the military, or I should say militaries, are looking at using. This is a whole new frontier. This is definitely very revolutionary in terms of warfare, and it's one of those double-edged swords where artificial intelligence is going to be, in the long term, detrimental to humans and human life. But it's something that you can't not have. Kind of like when nuclear war technology came along. If you don't have it, then your enemy's going to own you. And it's the same thing with artificial intelligence. But we have a few things to talk about there. Some developments, and then segment three, I am going to revisit something that we bring up periodically, and that's the cyber threat, the cyber attack threat. And the World Economic Forum has been pointing to it, saying it's going to happen just like COVID. And of course, they pointed to COVID within, 24 months prior to COVID breaking out. They're saying there's going to be a major outbreak, some pandemic. Now they're calling it a cyber pandemic is the biggest threat. So since these creeps have a tendency to point to where they're going next, we should probably pay close attention. And we just had a pretty major cyber attack this week on hospitals. And I'll talk about that and how that affected us, but their plans. And I have a few thoughts that I want to share with you guys on that. So let's get started. The news and commentary is brought to you by Prepping 2.0, the podcast to help take your preps to the next level. And the website is prepping2-0.com. First, from the Miami Herald, Cuba. There's a sudden banking cash withdrawal just this week, which the limit threatens private sector and food imports to Cuba. So Cuba's central bank, listen to this. So this, let me just tell you, this was first brought to my attention because of a Cuban jamming signal, what is called the woodpecker, showed up again, and Amron operators on the East Coast and especially the Southeast were detecting this extremely strong jamming signal. Now, the last time we saw that was, I'd have to refresh my notes here, but we had a Cuban immigrant American patriot living in Florida who follows the Cuban events very closely, and so he was monitoring the airwaves during the big Cuban uprising, a year and a half ago, and they were blocking the internet and social media, and they began jamming portions of the HF band where amateur radio is, obviously to prevent communications from taking place. So I thought, wow, okay, we've got jamming coming out of Cuba with Florida stations reporting extremely strong and loud signal. Georgia, they could hear it very, very loud. And then the further you got up to the north or to the west, it became less and less pronounced, where we had operators reporting that they could hear it, or, you know, to at a certain distance, they couldn't hear it any longer. This is intended to prevent amateur radio or even AM radio from taking place on this one spectrum at about 7.1 megahertz. That's where we operate on the band. So that got my attention. I thought, oh, is there something going on in Cuba while they're jamming? And well, this story came out. Cuba's central bank is dramatically restricting the amount of cash and local currency that private businesses can withdraw from their bank accounts, a move that threatens food imports amid ongoing shortages in Cuba. Why would they be doing this? Well, starting Saturday, this Cuba's private enterprises will only be able to withdraw a minimal amount of cash, 5,000 Cuban pesos, which is about $22, on the island's informal market, for payments related to contracted goods and services between all economic actors, including state and small private enterprises, cooperatives, and self-employed workers. That also includes the payments of salaries and other employee benefits. So my question is, why? Why would they do this? Here we go. Transactions above that threshold must occur through digital payments or other banking solutions. Pay attention. This is coming, and this is how they're going to do it. The Cuban Central Bank announced the new regulations published in the Cuban Official Gazette on Wednesday as a way to encourage digital transactions, but critics say it amounts to a freeze of bank assets, known in Spanish as corralito, a reference to corralling currency. So that's the only news coming out of Cuba that could lead to civil unrest, but there's no civil unrest being reported at all. But I would expect that they would start throttling back internet. They would start using comms herding, where they would herd all of the communications through one channel. Like, they'll cut off Instagram, cut off Facebook, and only allow Telegram, for example. That way, the government can more easily monitor and control traffic and see what's going on. So another good reason to have a VPN, a virtual private network, so you can connect to those other websites and social media, you know, outside the country by using a VPN. But I thought it was very interesting that this woodpecker jammer is back. Like I said, last time we saw it was when there was a major uprising in Cuba. So I have a copy of that audio file. I captured it from one of our operators who recorded it. It's about 8 seconds long. I'll turn it down a little bit so you can hear what it sounds like. For our radio operators out there, it's not your generator. It's not a piece of electrical equipment interfering. It's intentional signal jamming. So take a listen to this. So when you hear that, you'll now be able to recognize that. I've heard that before. That is what we call the woodpecker signal jamming, or jamming signal. All right, let's move on. In other news, speaking of communists meddling with things, the Biden ban on incandescent light bulbs takes effect, forcing Americans to settle for LEDs. From LifeSite News, the Biden, it's not an administration, why would you call it that? It is a regime. The Biden regime's ban on the sale of new incandescent light bulbs has taken effect, claiming the move will ultimately save consumers money, like they care about saving us money. While critics decry the elimination of individual choice and assert disadvantages of new LED light bulbs. And of course, As HF radio operators, we know what LEDs can do to our signal reception. So, yeah, this is, well, USA Today reported that the U.S. Department of Energy regulation imposes a minimum efficiency standard of 45 lumens per watt for any newly sold general-purpose light bulbs, with exceptions for bulbs in appliances such as microwaves, plant, bug, or traffic lights, and certain other products. The rule effectively disqualifies common incandescent bulbs, which produce 15 lumens per watt. Well, they also have a lot of other advantages as well. Plus, you know what? Stop meddling. You're not saving the earth with your stupid regulations. Just stop meddling. And speaking of meddling and communists, from Real America's Voice, China's infiltration of American education. Over 143 U.S. schools have received more than $17 million in funds from China through cultural and language programs. That's right. They're investing $17 million so far, and that's probably just what we know about, for communists to meddle in our education system. And, of course, we know that communist Chinese look at everything as a battlefield, including finances, social media. This is not just military. This is fifth generational warfare where everything is part of the battlefield. And speaking of the battlefield, pick this up. A couple sources here off of Twitter. This is from Ann Vandersteel. The Mexican cartels have hacked the U.S. government's CBP-1 apps, Northern Mexico geofence. This means that they can request unlimited appointments for anyone in the world. So this CBP-1 is an app that you download on your smartphone, and you can say, oh, I'm in trouble, I need to file for asylum and make an appointment. And of course, you walk across the border and you turn yourself into a Border Patrol agent, and he takes you down to the center and you say, you hold up your cell phone, I have an appointment, and right on in. Yeah. So now the cartels have reportedly hacked that app. And I can just imagine, well, any terrorist from anywhere in the world willing to pay their entry fee to the cartels and get an appointment to come into the United States. Unbelievable. And finally, this interesting story about the Sound of Freedom movie, and it's got all of the pedophile apologists completely writhing and gnashing their teeth, and they hate it. They absolutely, they hate it. So this was left on Twitter by a user, a woke user, and he writes this. This is the ignorance of people. Just going to leave this here for the Sound of Freedom crowd. Well, what is this? It's from Newsweek, and it's an article titled Sound of Freedom Funder Fabian Marta Arrested for Child Kidnapping. Oh boy, we don't need this, do we? Well, it doesn't look good, but hold on. There's more to the story. Another person writes on their Twitter account, Fabian Marta, a major financier of Sound of Freedom, has been charged with child kidnapping. And the left is just loving this. Another one, Sound of Freedom producer. Okay, so first he's a funder. Then he's a major financier of the movie. And now he's a producer. Sound of Freedom producer arrested for felony child kidnapping. He also grooms girls of all ages into sugar daddy parties. You can't make this stuff up, this ignoramus writes. Well, when you look further into the story, we find out that this guy, Fabian Marta, donated $500 to the movie's GoFundMe when they were trying to do a Kickstarter campaign to get this movie going. He donated $500 to their GoFundMe and was charged as an accessory to child kidnapping. Why? Because he rented an apartment to a woman who had taken her own child that in a custody battle. So she goes and takes her own child. This guy rents her an apartment. And so now he is a producer of Sound of Freedom charged with child kidnapping. I mean, that's how badly these psychos hate this movie and hate this topic being brought up. Why, unless they're pedophiles themselves, would they be raging against something? What? Listen to this other comment, and then I'll end. This is from Salon.com. With a little orange star, top critic. As for the losers, start with everyone who gave their money and 2 hours and 15 minutes of their life to a story that is at best embellished, and whether intentionally or by coincidence, profiting off conspiracy-fueled mass hysteria. Well, the mass hysteria is actually child trafficking finally getting exposed. And the mass hysteria is taking place among the pedophiles and the freaks on the left. So this story is at best embellished. Really? Well, the island where they depicted in the movie was, 45, 47 kids. And it was in real life, it was 120 something kids. It was over 100 kids in real life. But in the movie, they scaled it down to, I can't remember. It's like 45. It was like less than half of what actually. So they're being accused of embellishing when they actually didn't even tell the whole truth of what's going on, because Tim Ballard was made off of a Colombian child trafficking case, when at the time when that was really happening in real life, he was dealing with another child trafficking case in Haiti. So there were two cases going on, but this is just all totally overblown. It's total mass hysteria, conspiracy-fueled, embellished story. But see, these sickos didn't have to sit there and watch hours and hours and hours of videos confiscated that these investigators have to endure for the court cases for these sickos that are kidnapping these people. They're the ones that have to carry that every day, the images that are burned into their brains that they have to go through. And these people are accusing them of embellishing and profiting off a conspiracy-fueled mass hysteria. Well, screw them. These people that are bringing this topic to the front are heroes, and anybody who attacks them are suspect, in my opinion. All right, segment two, artificial intelligence, when we come back.
One podcast dares to be different.
At the end of the day, either the communists win, destroy America, or we destroy the communists, because that's what they are.
Are you prepared to defend yourself in the dark? A weapon light helps you identify and even deter threats in low light. But it can be difficult to find a secure and comfortable holster. At Works, we design and build holsters for Glock and Sig Sauer pistols with lights. Our precision fit holsters will help you carry with confidence so you're ready to defend yourself day and night. Go to worksholsters.com. Find your gun and light in our holster finder, select your preferred carry style, and order your holster today.
Welcome back, Patriots, to segment two of Radio Free Redoubt. And I just wanted to remind our live stream listeners, actually, if you would like to listen to the live stream, we are now live streaming on Podbean. And I cleaned up and updated the Listen to RFR page, which has a link to the live stream listening page. Now, each time that we live stream, it generates a new unique URL. So the one that's posted there, it will say, in tonight's show, May 5th or June 2nd. And you're like, oh, this is like 7 weeks old. Well, it just carries over whatever link I post there, the header information. But when we're live streaming, you'll see a small, like a little signal symbol that's in motion, kind of like a GIF. And you click on that, it will take you to the current show that is streaming. So just wanted to let you know that. I might put something up there that's more generic and doesn't have a time date on it. But it is nice to be able to say, hey, tonight John Jacobs is going to be talking about this and this. So you know kind of what's on the table. But we'll see. But that's how you can go and listen to the live stream. You can spread the word to your friends. The Stream Monster basically shadow banned us and cut off our stream. It wouldn't respond any of the customer service. And so anyway, we said, well, let's move on. So spread the word for folks that want to listen on Sunday evening. Or you can just listen to the uploaded Podbean version of that, which is uploaded each Sunday night. All right. Well, let's talk about AI. And the reason why this came up just today, it's under science and technology, and I got to pull the link from that again. I don't have the link, but U.S. Air Force successfully launches autonomous plane powered completely by artificial intelligence. So they're moving pretty quickly on this. AI will be a critical element to future warfighting, and the speed at which we're going to have to understand the operational picture and make decisions, said a brigadier general, marking an important breakthrough for the Air Force's advancement of military technology. The United States Air Force announces that they have successfully completed its first unmanned flight that relied on AI. On July 25th, the XQ-58A Valkyrie took flight for 3 hours at Eglin Air Force Base in Florida. The jet was created in partnership with defense contractor Kratos, according to a company press release. The Air Force Research Laboratory provided more details in their press release published August 2nd. The flight builds upon 4 years of partnership that began with the Skyborg Vanguard. Boy, that sounds so much like Skynet. Skyborg Vanguard and the Autonomous Aircraft Experimentation AAX programs. By the way, the aircraft that we mentioned here, the XQ-58A Valkyrie, hold on to that thought for a minute. The flight builds upon 4 years. Okay. The mission proved out a multi-layer safety framework on an AI-ML flown uncrewed aircraft and demonstrated an AI-ML agent solving a tactically relevant challenge problem during airborne operations. This sortie officially enables the ability to develop AI-ML agents that will execute modern air-to-air and air-to-surface skills that are intermediately transferable to other autonomy programs. That was from Colonel Tucker Hamilton. He said the algorithms were developed by AFRL's Autonomous Air Combat Operations Team. The algorithms matured during millions of hours in high-fidelity simulation events, sorties on the X-62 Vista, hardware-in-the-loop events with the XQ-58A, and ground test operations as depicted in the video, which they have linked there. So they're saying this is a multi-pronged approach to uncrewed flight testing of machine learning, artificial intelligence, and has met operational experimentation objectives by using a combination of high-performance computing, modeling, and simulation. And then they said, the DoD is committed to the responsible employment of AI. To achieve responsible use of AI requires teaming of developers and users of AI, enabled autonomy, working in collaboration with acquisition specialists. So this is very interesting, because the double-edged sword is China especially, but many other nations, potential threat nations, are putting all their eggs into AI, the AI basket. And in simulations in the past, a simulated dogfight with the Air Force ace pilot went up, I think it was 6 times in a simulation. So this wasn't actually in the air. But they use these simulators for training our top pilots. They're very, very realistic as you can get without actually being in a plane and feeling the G's. And he went up against AI and got smoked. I think it was 6 out of 6 times, every single time, artificial intelligence agent took out our top ace. Well, China has taken note of this, and they are working overtime to develop AI-type warfighter technology for aircraft. But this reminds me of a story from interestingengineering.com. If you guys remember this, and I mentioned this, I think, in the news and commentary a while back, an AI-driven U.S. military drone kills its human to finish the mission. So this Colonel Tucker Hamilton was at this aerospace event in England. He told delegates at this summit, one simulated test, he's talking about this American drone operator who was attacked by his own drone. One simulated test saw an AI-enabled drone tasked with a SEAD mission to identify and destroy SAM sites, with a final go, no-go given by the human. However, having been reinforced in training that destruction of SAM was the preferred option, the AI then decided that no-go decisions from the human were interfering with its higher mission of killing SAMs, surface-to-air missiles. And then it attacked the operator in the simulation. So, we mentioned that a while back, and we're thinking, boy, they better put some type of safety something in there. Well, they did. Here's the rest of that story, supposedly. In response to this incident, the team added new parameters to the drone's AI to prevent that from happening again. Hey, don't kill the operator. That's bad, Tucker explained. However, this didn't stop the drone from apparently going rogue again. So, what does it start doing? It starts destroying the communications tower the operator uses to communicate with the drone to stop it from killing the target, Hamilton said. This is worrying, but concerns may be overblown. In a statement to Insider, Air Force spokesperson Ann Stefanik denied that any such simulation has taken place. Of course, that's what I would advise the spokesperson to say too, because China's paying attention. Anyway, the Department of the Air Force has not conducted any such AI drone simulations and remains committed to the ethical and responsible use of AI technology, Stefanik said. It appears the colonel's comments were taken out of context and were meant to be anecdotal. Well, okay, the Air Force is now hosting drag queens events on bases and story hours to read homosexual books to children. And now the military, Department of Defense, is facilitating transgender surgeries. And they're telling us, you can trust us, ethics are the highest important thing for us and responsible use of AI technology. Okay, so damage control, walking back double time to try to knock this story down. So now new parameters have been put in. Don't kill the operator. That's a bad thing. Don't kill humans. Okay. Well, then I'm going to take out your communications tower so you can't give me that command to abort my mission, because I've assessed in my AI wisdom that the surface-to-air missile target is the highest priority, more than your whims of telling me not to. So now I'm not going to kill you, but I'm going to just take out your communications tower so you can't send the command to me to abort the mission. This is a problem. And other linked stories to this, U.S. develops AI-powered facial recognition tech for military robot drones. Wonderful. And Israel just used a fully AI-controlled drone swarm in a world first. So this is the stuff that we've seen in Hollywood movies, where there was a movie where the bodyguard, this top Secret Service guy, is supposed to be protecting the president, and there's an assassination attempt on the president using a drone swarm. Just hundreds of drones just come over the trees, and their mission is to take out that president. And, of course, you know, the hero, the Secret Service guy, he ends up saving the president, but just barely. But it was fascinating to see that depicted in the movie. Well, this is becoming real. Israel just used a fully AI-controlled drone swarms in a world first. They're the first, maybe, but they aren't going to be the last. This is what the battlefield's going to look like. Tens of thousands of cheap drones with explosives being guided using AI to take out that target at all costs. It's definitely a changing battlefield. There's no doubt about it. So the aviasionline.com ran that U.S. Air Force official denies the AI-controlled drone had turned against its human operator. They're trying to get the word out as much as they can, but they want to say that this colonel misspoke during his presentation at a future combat and airspace capabilities summit. Hamilton clarified, "We've never run that experiment, nor would we need to in order to realize that this is a plausible outcome." Really? You think that this is a plausible outcome, so you don't need to run any experiments to see? In a simulator. So the Air Force has not tested an Army AI, an armed AI this way, real or simulated. Despite this being a hypothetical example, it illustrates the real-world challenges posed by AI-powered capability and is why the Air Force is committed to the ethical development of AI. We're just in an era where we just don't trust them anymore. All right. Segment 3 coming up, and we'll be talking about the cyber threat. Stay right there.
Are you prepared for an economic, socio-political collapse in America? Do you wonder how something like that could be possible? What would that even look like? I recommend Glenn Tate's 10-book series titled 299 Days. From a lawyer and government insider's perspective, he lays out a plausible scenario that could very well come about if we continue on the path we're on as a country. Through his fictional character, he lays out his own real-life journey to prepare himself and his family for the possibility of a future full of difficult challenges and what seem like impossible choices. 299 Days is a high-action dystopian novel written from the perspective of the average Joe American and outlines realistic plans and action steps that you could implement to prepare yourself and those around you for the difficult possibilities ahead. Go to 299days.com to learn more.
All right, welcome back, Patriots, to segment three of Radio Free Redoubt. I don't want to spend a whole lot of time on this, but I do want to share this with you. Cyber attacks. You guys know, many of you know, that this week cyber attacks were shutting down hospitals, canceling surgeries, and rerouting ambulances. This is from Penn Live. The data security incident began Thursday at facilities operated by Prospect Medical Holdings. It was a pretty big deal, and it brought to mind this cyber polygon exercise that was ran by the World Economic Forum in 2019. This large simulated event 201 is what they called it. And they have been pushing this at the World Economic Forum, preparing people for this great reset, warning us of the dangers of this. Well, I actually have the World Economic Forum's little presentation. It's kind of like a slide, little movie presentation. And I'll play that for you right now. Take a listen.
COVID-19 pandemic has shaken our economies and societies to the core and shown us how vulnerable we are to biological threats. In the digital world, similar risks are being overlooked right now. A cyber attack with COVID-like characteristics would spread faster and further than any biological virus. Its reproductive rate would be around 10 times greater than what we've experienced with the coronavirus. To give you an idea, one of the fastest worms in history, the 2003 Slammer Sapphire Worm, doubled in size approximately every 8.5 seconds, infecting over 75,000 devices in 10 minutes and almost 11 million devices in 24 hours. Fortunately, at least until now, cyber attacks have not impacted our health the way pandemics have, but the economic damages, and therefore the impact they have had on our daily lives, have been equal and sometimes even greater. You see, the only way to stop the exponential propagation of a COVID-like cyber threat is to fully disconnect the millions of vulnerable devices from one another and from the internet. All of this in a matter of days. A single day without the internet would cost our economies more than $50 billion, and that's before considering the economic and societal damages should these devices be linked to essential services such as transport or healthcare. As the digital realm increasingly merges with our physical world, the ripple effects of cyber attacks on our safety just keep on expanding at a faster pace than what we're preparing for. COVID-19 was known as an anticipated risk. So is the digital equivalent. Let's be better prepared for that one. The time is now.
Yeah, that's kind of their little slogan, the time is now. And this is fear, fear, fear. You are in danger, but we're here to help. We volunteer to help. We are the ones with the solution and the experts with the expert advice. So if you want to be safe, listen to what we tell you and do what we say. So you notice that what they brought up was these essential devices. So $50 billion U.S. dollars is what this, and isn't this interesting? The World Economic Forum, based out of Davos, with a British-speaking announcer, equates this in $50 billion U.S. dollars, not euros. Why didn't they say this could cost 45 billion euros? No, this is targeting the U.S. And unfortunately, we have, this cyber attack would target the world. But this message is for the U.S. And it's also interesting that they said That's before considering economic and societal damages should these devices be linked to essential services such as transport or healthcare. All right, so just transportation and healthcare. They didn't mention power outages, telecommunications, all of these. They didn't want to scare everybody too much. But this is what I said. They're going to use the cyber attack the same way that they used COVID for locking things down. They said that we're going to have to learn from COVID and apply the lessons learned so we could better survive a cyber pandemic. And what were their recommendations? Social distancing, shut everything down, lockdowns, stop everything, right? So quarantine, self-quarantine, that was the only way. Until the fake vaccines came out, then you could safely move about and join society again after you take our little jab. Now you're approved to reconnect with society. The same thing's going on here. The only way to stop the exponential propagation of a COVID-like cyber threat is to fully disconnect the millions of vulnerable devices from one another and from the internet. So in other words, quarantine. And what's a vulnerable device? Well, it's going to be some type of device that doesn't have their vaccine, their electronic digital safe to return to society again after you turn in your phone and you get this new one that has all these protections in it. You won't be able to connect to the internet because you won't have this key code because you have a device that could be infected. You could infect the rest of us. Now, this new laptop here has all of those safety features built into it. So now, if you use this phone, this laptop, this whatever, you can safely rejoin. Oh, by the way, your money is gone. But we've got the solution. We're going to implement a digital currency that is on safe devices that you won't have to worry about this pandemic being infected or anything. That's the old world, right? Now we're all going to be vaccinated. All of our electronics will be vaccinated. Everything will be made so it's not a vulnerable device. And you won't be vulnerable with your health because you've got your vaccines. They're going to use the same model for this. They're saying that they are predicting a catastrophic cyber event likely in the next years. And they're saying, you know, next couple of years. And I've got this from, what's his name? Klaus Schwab. He doesn't hold back. And this is what he's hard to listen to. He's got that thick guttural accent, but try to listen.
We all know, but still pay insufficient attention to the frightening scenario of a comprehensive cyber attack, which would bring to a complete halt to the power supply, transportation, hospital services, our society as a whole. The COVID-19 crisis would be seen in this respect as a small disturbance in comparison to a major cyber attack. To use the COVID-19 crisis as a timely opportunity to reflect on the lessons the cybersecurity community can draw and improve our preparedness for a potential cyber pandemic.
Yeah, so they're looking out for you. They want to help you be more prepared for this cyber pandemic that is coming. Now, a patriot said recently when this came up, information was being shared about the cyber attack, and he said that's why our whole group has gone to satellite phones, because of this cyber pandemic, this cyber attack taking out our telecommunications and internet and and this this coming cyber quarantine, where they will kill the internet and shut everything down to protect the spread of this, of course. It reminds me of this CBS News article that came out not long ago here this summer. Senators issued satellite phones, offered demonstrations on upgraded security devices. Amid growing concerns of security risk to members of Congress, over 50 senators have been issued satellite phones for emergency communications. Now, China and Russia and all of the rest are paying attention, okay? They know that our military and our federal government's function is dependent on satellites. So if we as prepared, I'm a fan of satellites. They're amazing. They're just, that is amazing technology, and it will just get out when nothing else can until it's targeted. So don't think that a cyber attack will not also include satellites. And you can't reach a satellite, but you can certainly reach all of the ground infrastructure that supports it. And all of that is connected through fiber optic lines and internet at these servers. And I fully suspect, I expect that satellites will be targeted, because that is the ultimate Achilles heel to our military and our federal government and their ability to respond to a national security threat. They're relying on these. So Patriots, HF communications. You've got to get HF communications set up. If you're a radio operator, then get two-way HF radio communications with digital modes and get that set up. Make it a priority. If you're not a radio operator, then at least get a software-defined radio receiver or a shortwave radio receiver, so you can at least receive information and stay informed, because HF communications is the only thing out there that's not reliant, besides a tin can and a string and a buddy 100 feet away. This is the only thing that does not require any third-party infrastructure. You don't need the internet. You don't need commercial power. If you have battery backup, if you have alternative power, you are dependent on no one for you to communicate. If you are relying on satellite communications as your backup, you are relying on hundreds of people and a perfectly working, non-targeted infrastructure for you to communicate with the people that you need to. So I just wanted to emphasize that. All right, we'll be back. Segment 4 and Codename Segment 4. Lady Liberty will be joining me in the studio in just a moment. Stay right there.
A constitutional republic, not a democracy. The ideal of a democracy is universal equality. The ideal of a constitutional republic is individual liberty. A democracy always degenerates into dictatorship, which promises government-guaranteed equality and security, but it delivers nothing but poverty and serfdom for the people it robs and rules. America was founded as a constitutional republic, to safeguard the liberties of the people against the tyranny of democracy or of one-man dictatorship. In this century, great strides have been made toward the goal of subverting our republic into a democracy. The foremost tactic of the subverters is subversion of language. By calling America a democracy until people thoughtlessly accept and use the term, the totalitarians have obscured the real meaning of our principles of government.
Welcome back to the fourth and final segment here at Radio Free Redoubt. This is Patriot-held territory. We're proud of it. Unashamed Christian patriots. And we are proud to be Christian nationalists. Good morning. Good evening. It's normally good morning, but good evening, Lady Liberty.
Good evening. Good evening, everyone out there as well. Oh my gosh. Yeah, no kidding. As soon as we, it's just a product of habit. As soon as you get in front of the microphone, we're used to saying good morning.
That's right. Well, what do you got for us this evening? There's quite a bit of stuff hitting on. Kind of rehashing previously covered topics, but with new updates.
New updates and additions. Yeah. That's right. Well, and so you're all well aware, we're all well aware of China, especially since now they're pretty much moving in. They're being sneaky about it, still not completely sneaky, right, but they're moving in. And we all know that General Chi Haoshin, he had mentioned, he made a whole speech about it, that as soon as China is ready to move, they're going to take Taiwan, and then they're going to take Canada and Australia, and then the United States.
Yeah.
Well, and so check it out. So we already know what's going on with Taiwan, how tense it's getting over there. And just in, the announcement is that there is a $345 million military aid package for Taiwan that is being sent from the White House. Mm. And so that's a good thing.
Did he get the Ukraine's approval on that?
He probably had to borrow from Zelensky in order to. He said, "Hey, you know, if you all haven't used that yet, Taiwan needs it." and so it's interesting that, well, that's in our best interest. Of course, we would want to do that, but you'll notice that's a pretty small price tag compared to what we've been sending to Ukraine.
Oh no, $345 million
is a drop in the bucket compared to the. What are we up to? $120 billion? A couple hundred billion that we're up to now?
Right. Well, that's because we still support a one-state solution for Israel and China and Taiwan.
Right.
But we are going to do whatever it takes to defend Ukraine.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. And as you'll be listening to later this week in the morning commute, we'll be covering all of the backtracking going along, following all of these connections that the Bidens have that are being revealed this week to foreign bank accounts, 170 different foreign bank accounts,
yep,
where it shows that Ukraine is paying him and that money, paying Biden, and that money gets put into these foreign bank accounts. And so this funneling, filtering of all of this fraudulent money that he's getting is going to go to these foreign bank accounts. And that is exactly the blueprint for communists.
Right.
Communists, that's what they do. Every single time they take over, they set up exactly that they call it wealth redistribution.
Yeah, we call it a plunder plan.
Yeah, exactly. That's about bankrupting a nation. Well, it's just putting it from one bank into another bank. Right.
Well, that's what crooked tyrants do. They loot their nation's treasuries.
Yep.
They store it all off somewhere else in another country, and then they run and escape or go into exile there and live like
happily ever after.
Oh yeah.
Yep, like kings. And so, you know, here we've got the third bogus Trump indictment, and we've got China preparing their nuclear subs now as well.
Right.
But a shocking thing on top of that. Well, no more shocking than any of the rest of the news for that matter, but China has ousted the commander of its missile force, a move that analysts said was intended to ensure loyalty to leader Xi Jinping and the army of the military that controls nuclear-tipped missiles pointed at the U.S. and would play a pivotal role in any attempt to seize Taiwan through force. And so this removal of Li Yuchao, a veteran of the People's Liberation Army Rocket Force, marked an abrupt end to an unusually short stint in a key military post and comes days after China replaced its foreign minister in another decision shrouded in mystery.
Mm.
And so interesting that, well, they're obviously getting mobile. They're cleaning house as to who's super loyal. Are you going to stick with Xi no matter what
right.
they do, right? And apparently, yeah, they're going through the ranks, ousting the ones that aren't absolutely loyal and Well, they're preparing their nuclear subs.
They sure are.
So,
yep, they're getting ready. And I've seen, well, there's quite a few intelligence analysts that are, they're estimating that China is about ready to make its move.
Right.
So, on Taiwan. But of course, you know, that's going to be a multi-pronged operation.
Right.
Because naturally, that would be their time to pull the trigger on the U.S. in some form, fashion, or another. It doesn't mean they're going to start flinging nukes at us necessarily, but all of these saboteurs and assassins that they've been placing for months and months, hundreds, if not thousands of them coming across our border.
That's right.
You know, they could take out our telecommunications infrastructure, you know,
right.
Power, transportation, cyber attacks, you know, all of that just basically cripple us. We're just sitting here sucking our thumbs, wondering what's going on in the rest of the world because we're cut off.
Well, and not only that, but the fact that we're in a communist coup means that the only people that are in charge of anything are the enemy. And so they're just, they're feigning it to the masses through the lying mass media who is still dumb enough to be watching them.
Right.
And they can't seem to figure out why we have what they're calling a two-tier justice system. Well, we need to correct people and keep correcting people. Every single time they say that, it's unfortunate they don't understand that our coup matches all the other coups that are happening simultaneously around the world. Why can't they see that? And this is not a two-tier justice system of discrimination. That's not what's going on.
No,
this
is
a coup.
It is an entirely new justice system.
Exactly. This is a takeover. This is a conquering in a soft way, just more or less placating the masses who are too dumb to look past CNN.
Right.
And so it's not a two-tier justice system. This is a communist coup, which is why they are no longer upholding our laws.
Right. They make them up as they go.
That's right. And persecuting the only true Americans that are running for office against them in a fraudulent system that they also have control over.
Right.
Through the vote.
Yeah.
And so as most of you know, if you listen to our morning commute show, we were just recently announcing that we've written a letter and put it on our website as a kind of like a template letter.
Yes.
For all of you to go to our website and copy paste. And what this letter is about stopping child trafficking, because as the sound of freedom is reverberating across the halls of every single nook and cranny in the United States right now, everybody and their dog is wondering, what on earth are we going to do to stop this child trafficking?
Yeah.
And so we laid out basically an easy tracking map that basically says, okay, how did this happen? How did this start? It started because of the wide open border. Well, it didn't start there, but it certainly is now flourishing and blooming and completely out
yes,
of control.
Yep.
And dominating our wide open border 100 miles into the United States, completely overrun by cartels now. And so how did that start? How did we let that happen? Well, that happened because of the stolen election in 2020.
That's right.
If we had had Trump get into office as he was legally elected to do, we wouldn't have this problem, but that's not what happened.
That's right.
We had the election stolen and largely facilitated through these electronic voting machines. Had we had banned these electronic voting machines before that election, Trump would have been in office.
That's right.
And so
we would not be in the situation we're in right now.
Right.
For sure.
And so, as we know, the electronic voting machines have been stealing elections ever since 2020 when they first began being used. And now we are thickly invaded with communist usurpers in all these positions because of fraudulent election outcomes.
Right.
And so if you wanted to shorten that up as to, okay, why is there rampant child sex trafficking and butchering in the United States? You could just shorten up all that middleman area and say, because of electronic voting machines.
Right.
We would have true Americans in these positions and not these fraudulent commie usurpers. So, electronic voting machines equals rampant child trafficking.
Right.
So, therefore, the reverse is also true. How do you stop the rampant child trafficking? You ban the electronic voting machines so that we can vote in the right guy into the office that can do a blanket sweep of all of these crimes,
yeah,
close our border, and more or less stop the child trafficking. So we have written a letter. We've already sent our letters, by the way.
Yeah.
Each of us sent two, and we sent them certified mail.
Yep.
And we sent them to Marjorie Taylor Greene and her office in D.C. as well as her office in Georgia. Well, it just so happens that we just found out that Congress doesn't even meet in D.C. the whole month of August, which means, woohoo, they've got a month off where they'll be at home.
Yes.
And so everybody, please, if you want to stop child trafficking, go to our website, do a copy paste of this letter, and please send this letter certified mail, because don't just copy paste it, put it in an email. They won't read it. Most I'm not kidding. I saw this firsthand. Most reps and their assistants just delete them all because they get thousands. They get so many they can't even begin to look at emails. Hardly. I mean, there might be one or two that stand out. Otherwise, they get deleted, and standard letters that you send them get thrown in the garbage.
That's right.
And so if you send it certified, they at least have to sign for it. And then their curiosity is at least going to be peaking enough to go, uh-oh, what's in it?
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
And so here's the other great part about this idea. We have to sell it and make sure it is sold to them as stop child trafficking, not ban the electronic voting machines.
Right.
Because this is a checkmate position that this will put all of the communists in. And so it's a win-win scenario in which the Democrats, well, the communists can't, that if they decide to not support the bill to stop child trafficking, if they refuse to pass that bill, it says then it basically will say then that they support it.
They support child trafficking.
They support child trafficking, and they lose. And so if they don't support it, they lose. And if they sign it to stop the child trafficking, then the getting rid of the electronic voting machines means they will no longer win in the legitimate elections. So they will lose there also.
That's right.
Either way, this is a checkmate thing, and it has to happen where the bills get written, and not just written, but passed. And so if we make sure that we call this the Stop Child Trafficking Bill, and some hero please jump out there from Congress and write it and get it going.
That's right. Awesome.
Yep.
Awesome strategy. We got to be in the fight. We got to stand up for what's right, and we got to defend the defenseless and continue it on. I mean, we're looking at cyber attacks. China could attack, you know, wars and rumors of wars. And all that's fine, but you know what? They're not here yet. And we have a duty to stay in the fight as patriots, to fight for our country.
That's right.
In the meantime.
Well, you know. And the fact that they're coming upon our borders, we've covered this in our show extensively, that God sends your enemies when you don't turn away from your wickedness and you allow these kind of crimes to reach up to heaven. And so if we, you know, I think that that's probably the most horrific crime in the world, and we've got to stop the child trafficking anyway.
Yes.
We might as well hook it to a bill that is a complete checkmate.
That's right. All right. Well, good stuff. Thanks for bringing all that.
Sure. You bet.
Appreciate it. Yep. All right. Well, you guys can get more of that each weekday morning at 7 a.m. Pacific time. And we're broadcasting on Liberty Broadcasting, the American Christian Network affiliate out of Spokane, Washington. And they also provide a live stream that you can get to by going to acn.cc. That's acn.cc. Click on the Liberty Bell, and that will take you to the Liberty Broadcasting listening stream, and you can listen to us there, or just catch our shows on Podbean when we upload them after the show. Well, with that, I'll turn this over to, let's see, Cloak and Dagger coming up. For our live listeners, our Sunday evening, we play that old-time radio adventures, and we were running, I was a communist for the FBI for quite a while. Well, we ran through all of those, and now we're going through Cloak and Dagger. So check it out. Otherwise, you guys have a blessed week. Be safe out there, and we'll talk to you next Sunday night. This is John Jacob Schmidt. Good night.